June 21, 2023, it's the Watch for Pedro show.
That's where I signed my...
Watt for Pedro show. Happy Wednesday. Happy solstice, actually. Longest day of the year, people. Started off with John Coltrane. Live excerpt from November 22, 1962. Year before that horrible day. This is John Coltrane. I want to talk about you. Just an excerpt. Then we had Fence Post with All Messages of Poetry If They Travel Far Enough Through Time and Space. And you'll recognize Fence Post from last week. And making a reprise, round two. It's Richard Fenton from over in England. But he's here to aid and abet Watt, spieling with Randolph Carter in Eugene, Oregon. Welcome aboard, gentlemen.
Hello, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm really glad to have both of you aboard. Three-way. Thank you, Skype. So, those Estonians are engineers. Randolph, since we last talked, what's been up with you music-wise?
Richard probably had a better idea than I do. But from within the machine, it seems we just keep making music. That's about it. You know, housework, day job, making music.
Okay.
we've released some albums, but that's just what we do. It's kind of this, like, constant dribble, like an open wound.
Now, when you say we, you're talking you and Richard. Now, is this as Fence Post?
No, that's just the Museum of Vital Memory.
Okay. Remember, Watt gets confused. Watt gets confused easily, so you have to lay it out for him.
Well, and I think, given that the Museum of Vital Memory, if there is a single uniting factor between the people involved, it's that we've all set out to confuse.
Okay.
So yeah, there's just no way.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, we're never gonna. It's never gonna make sense. I mean, if it does, we've failed spectacularly, and you should never talk to us again.
Well, yeah, we'd have to go home.
I just want to give proper credit to who, you know, comes up with the piece, because the projects all have their different voice. Like the Museum of Viral Memory. Well, kind of the most recent thing you guys got done together is this Fence Post thing, right?
So, no, that piece you just played is from an album, the very first thing we ever did together in 2019.
Okay, that was the first time.
Fence Post.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but yeah. I was saying 2019, that's the first time Fence Post becomes like a recording entity.
No. Okay. Fence Post goes way back to the early 2000s.
Okay.
In 2019, the Museum of Viral Memory, posts like our very first album to Bandcamp, and literally within like 8 or 9 hours of the album going up, Richard reaches out and says, "Hey, I have this insane, brilliant project called the Fence Post Reclamation Project. Would you like to participate?" And we replied saying, "How the did you find us?"
Because the similar progeny.
It's weird, creeping us out now.
What you're talking about, yeah. There was a weird coincidence in the prog names being very similar.
No, not really. Rich found it somehow. We were up there as Museum of Viral Memory, and he was just like, "Hey, what? I've got this project. The Fence Post Reclamation Project." Richard should talk about that, because that track you played is us remixing the stems from the first Fence Post album.
And you're talking about early 2000s Fence Post.
That's right, yeah. Fucking.
Okay, now I understand. Randolph wasn't part of Fence Post yet.
You asked him to come on board. You had been doing that. And then he repurposed some old tracks by remixing them.
That's right, yeah. I did the original Fence Post EP came out in 2002 on...
Because I remember last week you talking to me, you said it was kind of like a catch-all name for a lot of your projects, right?
That's right, yes. The only one that survives from the old days. But
that's right.
So I managed to track Chris down, who ran the label in 2019, and I contacted him.
Okay.
And said, I'm back producing music. Are you happy for me to re-release this? And he said, yeah, of course, no problem. And then one of my other contacts, Rob, who used to run the record label I was on in Leeds in the early 2000s, he said, well, why don't you do a remix project out of it? And gave me a dozen names of people he knew who were interested. And so it went from there. And then I went over to Bandcamp and started using the Discover app of it, where you can, you know, go through various artists. And I had my little triage process of projects that interested me. And like Randolph says, I'd just fire out these invites saying, do you want to be part of this remix project?
Okay, now it's making sense to me. I understand now. Okay.
It's quite convoluted. But
yeah, it makes sense.
Randolph said, yeah, we're here to escape.
You know what it's kind of like? It's like a virtual version of meeting people at clubs or record stores.
Exactly so, yeah. Yeah, it's for me, quite a nice one. Because you get to triage a bit as well. So I can talk with like-minded people. And some artists did a remix, and then I've never had any contact with them since. Whereas all those collabs that we were listening to last week on the show, Mike, and obviously all this work with Randolph, said they're people who originally took part in that remix project. And then we've gone on to collaborate further and, you know, made some quite solid musical units because of that project. And I think now we're at about 950 tracks on the reclamation process, something like that. So we're nearing the conclusion.
Well, is this a reclamation thing, this Henry preparation of a serial killer preparation number so-and-so? We're going to listen to a few of them that you flowed me. Well, actually, Randolph flowed me. Like part 74?
Yes, that's again my predilection of just using file names for title names. That's the 74th different preparation I did on the piano,
okay,
which became the Henry Works.
But that's a buttload of fucking parts. I mean, let's listen to part 74, Diner 2.
Thank you. Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show. I chucked music. Start off with Fence Post. Fence Post, short and simple like that, not Fence Post Reclamation Project. Okay. Henry Preparation of a Serial Killer Preparation, Part 74. I'm sorry. Diner 2. Then we had brand new from Cella, Heiwa. Heiwa means peace, people. Japanese, good word to know. Then some more of Henry's Preparation of Serial Killer. This is Preparation Part 70, Henry the Fourth, Reprise. Yeah, it's a reprise. It's a boot. Fence Post. Then we had something. You guys had given me this a big piece. This guy, it's Italo Calvino's Invincible City, as performed by the Bromley Symphony Orchestra featuring the Underwood Piano Harlequin Quintet. And this is the last part you gave me. Cities and Signs in Hypatia. And then finally we heard Henry Preparation of a Serial Killer Preparation, Part 73, Suitcase 5, Fence Post. Okay. And Bromley Simpson, Italo Calvino, were these people involved with the big thing in Eugene? I remember we played a lot of this stuff back in 2002, October. 2022, I'm sorry.
So, yeah, the museum, essentially, you could think of it as, it's a handful of people, but no two records are ever released under the same band name.
Okay.
But it's often the same core group.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, the Harlequin Tat, the Bromley, is really it's the core group of people from almost all the. In this case, an extra member would be a programmer, a musician and programmer, a friend of ours wrote some software that we used, so they were included. They would be a bonus member for that project. Yeah,
I mean, it's a heavy piece, man. I've played all the parts now on the show, and beautiful stuff. Really fucking happening.
Yeah, you have not. Well, you've played all the ones that have completed. There's actually every single Invisible City will have its own song eventually.
Okay.
But
I played all the stuff that you've played.
Maybe one a month. Yeah, we've floated you everything that. It's already complete, but I think there's still like 30-some cities left for us to compose. That'll just take a couple years, a few years to write all those pieces.
And there's 74 parts to the Serial Killer? I mean, what's part one like? What's part two like?
Oh, no, they're, there's, actually just come out on the, Inner Demon Records from Florida. It's a 2-3-inch CD set, so it's sort of two suites of 20 minutes. But the preparation numbers are cumulative because, as I say, I'm terrible at titling, so that's just why preparation. So the first Henry track, I think, is actually Preparation 72. So I know it's a bit confusing, but all those preparations are just like a serial number.
Like if I was going to do a gig and then that gig was recorded, but I did like 15 pracs before the gig.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, and okay. Kept them all sequentially. So
sure.
Yeah, for future title announcements as well, Mike, you can just skip to the end because I refer to it as Suitcase 4 or, you know.
Okay.
The reprise, because yeah, those codes will just keep getting longer as I do more work. So skip like, to the end, as they say.
I think what we talked about this last week, like Roman numerals, right?
That's
it's
right.
It's like
yep.
Spelling numbers, like some of these motherfuckers, because there's no matrix, no placeholders, so it's like spelling words, right?
It will be. Yeah, sooner or later, I'm just trudging towards a never-ending litany of ones and V's. I think maybe the odd X chucked in.
I had Greg Turner at Angry Simone's, and he teaches calculus, and we were talking about this insane ability of the Romans to build like they did using that terrible number system. You can't divide and multiply with that shit. I mean, it's terrible. But it looks good on buildings.
Exactly, and never-ending slave workforce. You can cut some mathematical corners with that, can't you?
Of course. Don't ever forget that, people. They did have a republic, but they also did have big-time fucking slavery.
Mm-hmm.
You know where it's also on when you watch movies, it's on the top. That's how you know what year the movie's from, right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Really interesting. But you know what? I don't think really you gave me any more of that, because we move on to some other stuff you guys did. This Una Pesosis Sympathetic Postchestra. This guy's done. Next hour we'll get into some stuff. So I think, because I used the sequence that you guys gave me. You kind of gathered each hour around a certain kind of, it seems to focus around certain projects. Because Church of Annihilation will be in the third hour. Yeah. Very good, Randolph. Thanks so much for organizing for a challenged Watt as far as getting rabbit's head. I love the way you guys are really artistic about this stuff, though, and you don't just take things for granted, you know, because I think there's too much of that shit. And we lose the fucking adventure, you know. Not like we want to be at the bottom of the ocean in a little submarine, but we gotta fucking roll the dice sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so what? Watt ain't got it figured out. Watt has to learn. Maybe that's a way of Watt proving to himself he's fucking still alive. So thank you, gentlemen, for being patient with me. We're at the end of the first hour, June 21, solstice 2023, with Randolph and Richard. Hold tight for hour two. June 21, 2023, it's the second hour of Watt from Pedro Show. Watt for Pedro show start off second hour. The excerpt from the Delian Concerto. Delian, I should say. Maybe for Delia, huh?
Dervish. Yeah. Okay. Delian is
see, not. I'm a slow learner, but I don't give up. It's like a puppy with the chew toy, right? That's my fucking memory, right? Don't let go. Okay. For chamber orchestra, Septen Deshe, or Dectet. Ah, it's Dectet, like a 10-piece, right? Yeah, okay. The MVM Radiophonic Workshop, which I'm guessing is the Museum of Viral Memory. And then we had Sarah, Sarah Wald with a live version of Declamation. And then, again, the Bromley Symphony Orchestra featuring Edward Piano Harlequin. Oh, but this is not Invisible Cities. This is excerpt from Kalina excerpt. It's an excerpt from an excerpt. Okay. Enlighten us, Randolph.
So Kalina, when we finished reading Invisible Cities and decided to inspired by the Phantom Topography Project that the MVM and Lesson 1 did together.
Uh-huh.
Richard is associated with a label called Lesson 1.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And we work with them sometimes. And so we came up with the idea of phantom topographies of studying places from literature in sound. And that was where the Invisible Cities project was kind of born of that. For the Phantom Topographies album, we decided to write our own Invisible City in the style of Calvino's.
Ah, okay.
And so that story, if you go to Bandcamp and listen and go to the Phantom Topographies album, the story that we wrote in Calvino's style so that it should fit naturally into the Invisible Cities book, this is the audio for that piece.
Okay. Tell me if I'm far off, but I'm thinking of H.P. Lovecraft, and he came up with this, the Cthulhu mythos, Cthulhu, right? And then guys who would write in that kind of, I don't know, thought train, it's referred to as Cthulhu mythos, like they're part of, even though the guy was, no, maybe it started while he was still alive, but people started like, they were inspired by his story to write their own stories.
He actively encouraged it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's, a lot of my artistic practices do sort of mirror the way Lovecraft would contact other people and encourage them to do things. And so I directly was inspired by him, but that's always been, like we were saying last week, how I've done my music is by contact and encouragement and, you know, learning off people. So I think that maybe that's just a creative drive some people have is to reach out. And I think the small press setup that Lovecraft worked in with all of these correspondents is very similar to the sort of digital ersatz we have now with Bandcamp.
Right, he wrote like buttloads of letters, right?
Oh, 47,000 or something in the library.
And, you know, Mr. Jefferson wrote, you know, 8 or 9,000. He even had a machine and he could make copies, right? He had a little stick with another quill. But this guy, Mr. Lovecraft, yeah, he's kind of the Al Margolis of that small press. Like what Al Margolis was doing with the cassette culture in the 80s. I mean,
I think
humans like, some humans gravitate as like kind of focuses, so other humans can artistically, it's not like so hierarchical, but they're kind of like focuses of energy, and you need some cats to stoke the fire, right?
Yeah, we're all sort of drawn to the same fulcrum and then start orbiting it, but yeah, there's lots of patterns of that throughout all types of art, I suppose, isn't there? But, yeah, definitely with literature. And a couple of the pieces on the Phantom Topographies are directly inspired by Lovecraft.
Yeah.
And his stories as well. Don Hagen, he had on...
that's right.
Left, but about 3 weeks ago. Just received a second track of his for us as well. So it's an ongoing, evolving project, which is now split off, as Randolph was saying, into the Invisible Cities.
Right.
And a couple of other artists working on.
And then you see the Karam, the Cascade Fuck effect. They end up writing their own story based on interpreting music of another cat's story. Literature, music intersects and inspires and intersects and gives birth. And I find it righteous. But here's another thing.
Evolution.
Yeah. Absolute. I had Jerry Casala on the show a couple months ago. Just had a baby, like in his 70s. Well, his wife did. Here's another proj that you flowed me, Randolph. Uma Pesosa, Symphonic Postchestra. Let's listen. Watt from Pedro Show. That chunk of music started off with Uma Pesosis Symphonic Postkestra, excerpt from The Unwinding Hours, and this is hour two. Then we had Ruli Shabara and Wooker Shoyati with Akisa Ai, and then another Uma Pesosis Symphonic Postkestra, excerpt from Unwinding Hours, but this is hour four. Okay, Randolph, enlighten us to Uma Pesosis Symphonic Postkestra, please.
Well, the Symphonic Postkestra is essentially a symphonic orchestra with fence posts driven through its heart, which is where the name comes about. Fence post is
I got it.
In the center.
Yeah, I told you I'm a slow learner, but not totally stupid. It's
very
clever.
Richard floated us some pieces.
What about Uma?
I think older works, if I'm not mistaken.
What about Uma?
Dance music.
What about Uma?
One of the members of the MVM is Una Person.
Okay, because I know there's an actress called that, but in Japanese, that's their word for horse. So it may just be coincidence, you know.
Yeah. She only has two legs. So
okay.
Probably not a horse. But
you know, Hampton Hawes, I read the Hampton Hawes biography, jazz piano player for Watts here, and he was in the army and stationed in Japan. And yeah, Hampton Hawes, you know, horse, Hawes.
Mm-hmm.
They called him Uma san. They called him Uma san. Yeah. So anyway, okay, so this is a collision between you and Richard and then the members of the Viral Memory Museum. And what's
Richard,
what's
you,
at the crux
you
of this?
Some acid, right? So I think Richard sent us some acid house. Was that correct? What was the style?
It was that that old acid techno, wasn't it? I'm caught trying to draw my mind. It was, yeah. It was the old acid techno, acid house stuff, wasn't it?
We took that. It was floated to it that Richard had sent us, and we transcribed it for our little symphony orchestra.
Yeah.
And then recorded it. Actually, this is not the symphony orchestra, though. We initially did it for symphony orchestra, and then when it went back to Richard, I think Richard's partner said, wouldn't that sound better as a skiffle band? So then we reinterpreted the transcriptions for jug, singing saw, washtub bass, washboard. So we tried to capture a skiffle band.
Or a jug band. Yeah. You know,
yeah.
Benny Goodman had his orchestra, but then he's had his little combo, right? I'm reading Charlie Golan's McKinney book on Charlie Christian. And Count Basie, too. Big band, small band. They did for economic reasons and stuff. But, I mean, artistically, yeah, stuff gets – that's really interesting. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, June 21st, 2023, solstice. Special guest Randolph and Richard. Hold tight for hour three. June 21, 2023, it's the third hour. Watt from Pedro Show. Thank you.
Nature, the gentlest mother is, impatient of no child. The feebleness of the wayward is her admonition mild. In forest, in the hills, by traveler beheld, restraining rampant squirrel or two impetuous birds. How fair her conversation, a summer afternoon.
Incite the timid prayer of the minutest cricket, the most unworthy flower. When all the children sleep, she turns as long away
as will suffice to light her lamps. Then bending from the with infinite affection and infinite care, her golden finger on her lip will silence everywhere.
Watt for Pedro show. Start off third hour. Some more Uma Pesosis Symphonic. Now, I get it. People get a fence post, but with the PH. Yes. That's very clever. Post-gestra. And the post there, like after. Yeah. You take the K out of punk rock, you got pun rock, people. Excerpt from Unwinding Hours, Hour 1. From Hour 2 to Hour 4 to Hour 1. Then we got Emily. This is Crane reinterpreting some Emily Dickinson poetry. Nature, the gentlest mother is. And then finally, the Church of Annihilation. Excerpt from Summons to Draw Down a Planet Killer Asteroid. Yeah, there just was a test of a device, right? They ran into a little rock up there to see if they could alter its course. It might be the thing we need. We get in trouble. But Church of Annihilation, Randolph, please.
I think a year or two ago, you played the MVM's Fifth Symphony, which was a collaboration with Richard.
Yep.
Which was the invocation to trigger the eruption of the Yellowstone caldera.
Oh, of course. You know, that's supposed to be a motherfucker if it goes off, right?
But that is why we are all about annihilation. It's the whole sixth extinction thing is happening way too slow. It's not satisfactory. So we're just trying to
help it along.
We can help. Yeah.
Aid and abet. Right.
Yeah.
Call in the courtroom. And again, it's the same like kind of core members of the viral museum. But you know what? I think it's okay to have like different personifications of the same people, because when you're realizing a different music prodigy, why not? Might as well, for all practical purposes, because when the listener gets experiences, it might as well be different cats.
Yeah, and within the museum, one of our primary trios is the Sentimental Witches.
Uh-huh.
So they enact a lot of this magic. And these invocations to bring about annihilation are the three witches, the three sentimental witches, and then Richard and his whatever, whoever he brings. But
three witches.
That's where those come from.
Three witches. Yeah. I'm thinking of Macbeth, right? After Elizabeth, this James guy from Scotland was scared of witches, so whoever wrote those Shakespeare plays wanted to have some fun with that. There was a lot of ladies killed in that period. We're talking like 15, 1600s, thousands over, witchcraft, right? Joan of Arc.
Yeah.
I'm not just saying England, but all of Europe. There was a, what do you call it, kind of create mania over it. Yeah.
Pogrom.
Yeah, pogrom. Yeah. That's a better word for it.
Because who knows? I think that's essentially what it was.
Because probably a lot of these ladies were doing like a holistic, herb, sage kind of medicine stuff. You know. Who knows?
Exactly. I think Monty Python summed it up best in the Search for the Holy Grail.
Oh yeah! Right.
Yeah, that's
my favorite part of that movie is when they got to get across his gorge and the dude asks the dude's favorite color and he fucks it up. his own.
No yellow.
he doesn't even know his own favorite color. That's pretty bad. It's like the Cheech and Chong record, right? With it, let's make a dope deal. Like, what's your first name? Come on, Bob.
Dave trying to get in. No, it is Dave.
Dumb shit stuff. Okay, here's another Church of Annihilation piece right here.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show, last music for this edition. We start the chunk off with excerpt from Summons of an Atmosphere Stripping Coronal Mass Ejection. Yeah, sunspots, people. The Church of Annihilation. Then the Bobby Lees with Hives. And finally, here's the song title, Church of Annihilation, with excerpt from the Invincible Summons calling the explosive evolution of nanotechnology war machines which cleanse the life from Earth. The end. Yeah. So, again, the caldera at Yellowstone is calling your name, I guess, Randolph, right? Am I correct?
Yes. We have an ever-growing list of ways to summon the end times in a more suitable human timescale. Like, the sixth extinction is just, it's happening. It's really just trying to, we're just trying to, you know.
We're an accelerant.
It's really unpleasant people making really unpleasant music. I think that kind of sums it up.
And you know that festival you had back in October? Are you guys planning another one?
Yes. We actually are, I think, in 6 or 7 days, we will announce who was chosen from the call for scores. We're in the final process of culling. We received hundreds of scores. Awesome.
Culling is most appropriate with our conversation here.
So that'll be in October.
I like the way you phrase that, Randolph. It's not like, yeah, we selected the winners. No. We chose the ones to be culled.
Yeah, we call the week.
But interesting choice, you know, because it still tells the truth, right? It's no sin of omission. And when's it going to take place? Is it going to be in the fall again?
Yeah, October again.
And same place there in Eugene?
I think different venues, but it will be in Eugene, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it was several venues last time, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it'll be 3 venues again. I think probably First Christian Church again.
Yeah.
But I think Wow Hall is now doing one of them.
Wow.
last I heard, and I forget who the third venue is this time. Yeah.
Is there still World of Pies, that pizza pad? Because I heard they were doing gigs.
Oh, yeah, right? That's still there.
Okay, because they do gigs, that's right?
Great. Yeah, they do. I think at least 3 nights a week they've got something going, okay. Yeah.
And, okay, so you're going to announce in a week the people that are going to appear and stuff. And did people submit demos or stuff, or just here's our unit, and if you select us, we'll create for the event?
Well, actually, what the vast majority of folks do is we perform all the music, or most of the music is performed by the ensemble,
the Eugene
Difficult Music Ensemble. Composers from around the world send us scores, so we'll get a visual score, and it might be a graphic score, or it might be notated music.
Okay.
And then they usually also send us either a MIDI version or a recorded version that they've been able to make, either because they have access to a school symphony or a chamber ensemble. So most people send us both a physical score or a PDF of a score, and also then a sample of it being performed.
So do you have a group for each venue, or does that one group of people move from venue to venue?
One group of people moves from venue to venue.
Okay. Yeah. And this,
there'll be, I think, about 15 of us perform. I think we have about 15 people playing in the ensemble for the festival.
Man, you know, all those recordings you gave me, that was one unit playing all those different things. Okay.
Pretty much. The exceptions would be, we had one night when we had guest artists, so Free Static, are their own unit, Aina Nakamura, M. Denny, and Mystic Elevator. Those 4 are their own bands, and they performed as guest artists, but all the other pieces were scores that were submitted and chosen as performed by the Eugene Difficult Music Ensemble.
Right. I had a guy from Spain. You played one of his scores. He was talking about that.
Luis.
Great cat. Really good. All these cats you've turned me on to, really, really, I'm most grateful. Beautiful cats.
Well, we're going to have a whole new batch to turn you on to after this festival.
Okay, bring it.
It's exciting.
Yeah, I'm into it. I'm way into it. And, damn, we're out of time here, but I can't wait. Whenever the invite's open to both you and Richard, anytime, anywhere, your invite is good for the Walk for Pedro show, so please bring.
You got it. Thank you.
Yeah,
will do, Mike.
Okay. People, it's been Solstice 2023, June 21, this Walk for Pedro show. Keep you powder dry.